As a team, I don't know where Milwaukee goes from here because
What are
I
you mean?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
No,
So is
listen.
this over?
No, listen. I think it's over.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It's Tuesday, May 7th. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me some of that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today. Breaking down, wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. All right, so a couple of massive, massive game fours to cover today. Bucks Celtics, which was awesome. And then a highly entertaining Rockets-Warriors in Houston. That was awesome. That's going to all be covered with the usual dumbassery of That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mates, Spot of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's some Yeah Nahs, there's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. We've also got a brand new Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week, plus a look at the odds and a pick and preview for a couple of game fives tomorrow. That's right, we've got Raptors and Sixers and Nuggets Blazers. That's going to be cool. We're also going to finish off with a brand new Jingles HR as Joe Ingles answers a question from Monty in Arizona. Legendary. All right, man, let's get stuck into it. It's episode 280 of NBA Straya. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Or you better watch out for the attack of the flying James Harden elbow if you're Draymond Green. How good was that? Fast Jimmy Harden getting one of his own back. He's like, Draymond, you're going to keep hitting me in the fucking face, mate. I'm going to get you back. And Draymond dropped like a sack of shit, didn't he? That was amazing. All right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Some reports are out there, Yahoo in particular, bang on that Ty Lue is already basically confirmed as the Lakers' new coach. They're just hashing out the details. Neat. Good on you. Smart move. Just get the coach that LeBron wants and just everyone can just chill out. That'd be nice. Apparently also, according to the Yahoo Sports report, if Tyronn Lue takes the job, Frank Vogel is going to be his lead assistant, which is pretty good. Still feel like Frank Vogel kind of shit the bed in Orlando. Like, I don't know, he got like a bit of a tan. He's hanging out there, probably banging some of those Tiger Woods leftovers. You know, just hanging out at the Denny's. Getting some work done in some of the broom closets and whatnot. Because he was such a hard-nosed defensive dude in, like, Indy. And then he gets to Orlando and it's just a shit show for a couple of years. But anyway, that'll be good. Nice one. Good job, Lakers. Other news. 2007 number one pick, former Ohio State Buckeye Greg Oden and sender of dick pics has graduated from Ohio. O-H-I-O. Ohio State, 12 years after his last season, which is pretty great. I'm assuming it took 12 years because he failed Don't Send Dick Pics 101 over and over. Nice. DeMarcus Cousins of the Golden State Warriors. He expects to return to action this season, he reckons. Nice one. He's going through some decent intensity workouts after shoot around. He's clearly improving, apparently. Holding out hope for a bit of a playoff cameo if the Warriors make the finals. On your boogie! I dig it. Other injury news, Marcus Smart. He was back today for the Boston Celtics and still no Malcolm Brogdon, El Presidente for El Buccos. So let's get into the game wraps for today. How good was this? God damn. Boston was on hype for game four against the Bucks. But in the end, they end up losing 113-101. The Celtics, I don't know, man. It's just a bit all over the shop, isn't it? That's right. So a couple of the big questions we had going into this the series was, will Milwaukee's defense show up? And they do in fits and spurts. And when it spurts for a bit longer than it doesn't, Boston don't usually win those games. And can Boston slow down Giannis? That has been a big nope since game one. So there you go. The matchups to keep an eye on were Giannis versus whoever they throw at him. Giannis is smashing that. And also Terry Rozier versus Bledsoe, which has been not that important, really. But at the same time, if Terry Rozier is not doing shit off the bench, the Celtics are in trouble. Anyway, game four. This was fun as hell, man. The Celtics got up by 11 in the first quarter, streaking ahead until Pat Connaughton hit a three at the buzzer, and it was like, wow, Celtics have come out on fire. There you go. They had 14 points in the paint after just 24 total in game three. And but the thing is, man, every time this Celtics team gets like a double-digit lead, they play like the worst team in the NBA out of nowhere. They're like, no, we're good. We've won. She'll be right. Turns out, though, when you play the 60-22 Milwaukee Bucks, it's not all she'll be right, because the Bucks tied up with 3 minutes left in the second quarter, and then they got up absolutely smoking. They're up four with 2 minutes left, but then Boston went on a quick 6-0 run to close out the quarter and led at the half, 49-47. But the Bucks, man, they just keep doing their Golden State impersonation, right? It's the old Golden State thing of the third quarter being the premiership quarter. That's the 95 Carlton Blues. Third quarter, the premiership quarter. The Bucks do it now. The Golden State Warriors have made it their own. And they put the old Celtics to the sword. 33-23 in the third quarter. Absolutely schmuckered him. And look, it was George Hill hitting shots. Nikola Mirotic getting involved and getting a million rebounds. The craziest part was Giannis picked up his fourth foul with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. So he sat. And the Celtics then got outscored 21-13 and shot 23% while Giannis was on the bench. Oh, that's not very good. No, it's not. Pat Connaughton, he blocks Terry Rozier at one end, gets a great pass down to him, throws in a massive dunk, as mentioned, at 33-23 quarter. Bucks go up 8 going into the fourth. Jump up 12 going like at the start of the fourth. Giannis, he's out there, no hassles, just crushing it. Kyrie can't hit a shot. Absolutely gross. He's horrible in the fourth quarters in this series. It was 5 of 16 at one point. And everyone's like, oh, wow, is Kyrie really any good anymore? And it's like, oh, shit. I'm not entirely convinced that he is. Because, look, he just couldn't, like, he thought about it. He's like, oh, I reckon I can put us on out on my back. And it turns out he just could not at all, in the least. It was pretty rough going there for old mate Kyrie. What happens when you think the earth's flat? Suddenly you can't shoot a round bull very well, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, so for the fourth quarter, we've got Giannis. He just goes, oh, you know what? Yeah, this is winning time. I'm just going to absolutely smash it. Puts in 17 points. Absolutely bananas. And meanwhile, Kyrie goes 2 of 5 for his 7 points. Just, ugh. J'ai brutal. Can you say it with me? J'ai brutal. Tatum had missed 11 straight threes, hit one with 8 minutes left in the fourth, and that was like a last bit of a, the last skerrick of hope that the Celtics really had. And Giannis just went, no, fuck you. I'm just going to keep driving to the teeth, and we're going to win this game. So they did. 17 points in the fourth. So many points in the paint. It's absolutely crazy. And there you go. The Bucks just run straight over the top of them, outscored them 33-29 in the fourth. A couple of, you know, garbage minute points there at the end for the Celtics, and that was all she wrote. They shot 37%, the Celtics. Yeah, that won't get it done. 9 of 31 from 3. 9 of 41. Jeez, I had that written down wrong. God damn. Yep, that's not great. Kyrie having a bit of a rough time of it of late. They shot 17 of 44, apparently, the old Celtics in the, I believe it was the second half. Just, ugh. Absolutely brutal showing. But look, Kyrie today, he was all like, hey, I'm not going to shoot 8 of 22 again. So instead, he shot 7 of 22. Yep, thanks, Kyrie. We'll talk about him later. 23 points, 10 assists, 4 turnovers. Probably the worst 23-10 game you'll ever see. Average Al Horford, look, doubled his field goal attempts from 8 to 16 in this game. Shot 3 of 8 from 3. He's apparently now their best 3-point shooter. I mean, that's all well and good, but yeesh. He ends up with 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists as average L. 17 for Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes. Pretty good, you know, bounce back over the game 3 and game 4 for Tatum. He was absolutely horrid game 1 and 2. since he got home, he had 20 points in game three, game four, 17, 10 rebounds, four assists, and two blocks. It's pretty handy, but it's kind of the game that you're like, all right, Tatum, can you sort of bring us home? Because Kyrie's playing kind of shitty and not hitting anything. We need you to shoulder the burden, pal. And he's like, oh, no, I'm good. Yeah. Mook Morris at 18 and 14. He was awesome. He's been great this series. Just proving my theory that it's Markeith Morris, not Marcus. But anyway, and Jaylen Brown was very good again. He's having himself a very good series. 16 points, 7 rebounds for him, 5 of 11 from the field. As usual, pretty bloody good defense too. He's been very solid. The bench, though, for the Celtics really let them down. Gordon Hayward, 4 Chandler Parsons. Yep. 3 of 17. The bench shot for the Celtics today. 3 of 17. Gordo Hayward goes 1 of 5. Marcus Smart in his game back. First game back, 1 of 7. They're all from downtown. And 1 of 5 for Terry Rozier for a combined 7 points. Yeesh! That is absolutely brutal. Bangers got out there for 7 minutes, only grabbed 2 rebounds. And Semi Ojeleye got out there for less than a minute. So, yeah. Absolutely brutal showing from the Celtics bench. Oh, but they're so deep. Oh, they've got so many good players. How are they going to play them all? I don't know. Just have like 8 good ones and you'd be fine. Anyway. Bucks, they shot 44% for the game. Pretty bloody good. 8 of 37 from 3 for them. What's that? Actually worse than the Celtics, which is pretty crazy. A lot of that was to do with Chris O. Middleton. He had a rough one. Rough shooting night for him. 4 of 19 for Chris O. 13 points, 7 assists. But Giannis absolutely smashed it. We're going to talk about him at length in a second. So 39, 16, 4, 1 steal, 1 block. Absolutely incredible showing from him. Eric Bledsoe put on a bled show. Yeah, 2 blocks. Just absolutely demolished Gordon Hayward there at one time. The 13 points, 3 assists, 0 of 4 from downtown. Didn't really matter. Brook Lopez had basically the exact same line as last game. 7 points on 1 of 4 shooting from downtown. But he also had like a pretty hefty block in there. But he also grabbed 8 rebounds, which is pretty wild for Brook Lopez, who's usually allergic to rebounds like fucking that Macaulay Culkin in My Girl to fucking bees. And Nico Miletic, hello, look at very thick beard. It is not there no more. Oh, yes, can shoot very well, yes. 3 of 10 for his 9 points, 6 rebounds, but he played pretty bloody well. I'll tell you that much. Georgie Hill off the bench. He had 15 points, 5 assists, just provided and another amazing spark off the bench for the Bucks. Aggressive George Hill is wild to watch considering how shit he was for the Celtics. For the Cavs, sorry. Last year. Jesus. Speaking of aggressive, Pat Connaughton. If there was ever a dude who should have played for the Boston Celtics, it's Pat Connaughton. He's not only got the most Boston Celtics sounding name, he looks like the prototypical Celtics player. He went to Notre Dame, of all fucking places, and he's a lifelong Celtics fan. Instead, he's out there kicking their ass. 9 points, 10 rebounds, 3 of 7 from the field. That awesome block on Rozier and that absolute demoralizing dunk. Wild stuff. Ershan Ilyasova, hello. 6 points, 6 rebounds, 3 of 9 for him. And their bench did pretty okay. It's not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. That's 32 points compared to 7. What's going on, Boston? Dropping the ball. Yeah, even Sterling Brown got out there for 9 minutes and scored 2 points. It's not bad, is it? Not bloody bad. But look, the Bucks just really, really gave it to the Celtics, especially in that second half. They just went, fuck it. Our bench is going to outplay yours. Gordon Hayward's going to stink. Kyrie can't hit a shot. And that's how it goes. Eric Bledsoe versus Terry Rozier. We always check up on this. 13 points for Bledsoe. 2 points for Rozier. A minus 2 overall for Bledsoe. Minus 11 for Rozier. Eric Bledsoe should rock up wearing a Drew Bledsoe shirt next game. Just saying. So Milwaukee win pretty handily. 113-101. They go up 3-1 in the series, having won 3 straight since Paul Pierce announced that the series is over after game 1 with the Celtics winning that one. So good job, Paul Pierce, for jinxing the Celtics. All right, the next game of today was very fun. The Houston Rockets win at 112-108, an absolute ball terror of a game. The Rockets tried their absolute hardest to bottle this at the end, but PJ Tucker kept grabbing offensive rebounds and just wouldn't let them lose. KD, the coward snake, Kevin Durant, and James Harden, fast Jimmy Harden, got hurt in the first 5 minutes of this. They came out hammer and tongs, actually, both teams, hitting shots left, right, and center. And then KD hurt his elbow as Harden hit the ground very hard and stayed down there for an entire possession. And KD was like, oh, shit. Anyway, they were all good, though, after a little bit of rest. Pretty handy. Steph Curry got going for the Warriors. He scored or assisted on 9 of the 12 made baskets for the Warriors in the first quarter, which is pretty good. And Golden State led after 1. And then the Rockets went absolutely crazy. They shot, I think it was 11 of 25 in the second quarter, which is just absolutely bananas, mate. I mean, what are you doing, Rockets? It's pretty good, man. Pretty good. Yeah, let's check it. Second quarter, they shot 10 of 22. Jesus. Pretty good. So good job, Rockets. They jump out and they go, all right, fuck it. I was going to score 36 points in a quarter. So they did. 36 to 26. Very fun stuff. Like Austin Rivers hitting a couple of threes back to back. Harden doing some stuff once he got his eyes going right. It's pretty fine. Pretty cool. And the Rockets were like, oh shit, we're going to be like leading this one pretty handily. And then out of nowhere, Iguodala hits a buzzer beating three to end the half. And the Rockets only take a, 7-point lead in 61-54. But that's when it got interesting, wasn't it? Oh, yes, because at the start of the third quarter, Harden smacked Draymond in the face with his elbow coming down off a jump shot. Sort of lending credence to Draymond complaining about, I'm fouling him on his 3-point shots. I've been fouled by a James Harden 3-point shot. Me. And he did then. Got him right in the face. Draymond dropped like a sack of shit. He had the world's tiniest violin playing for him through the entire thing as well. And with 7 minutes left in that quarter, Harden had hit more threes than the entire Warriors team in less attempts. It was 5 of 9 versus 4 of 16, which is absolutely crazy. And with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, the Rockets had shot 15 of 33 from downtown versus the Warriors 4 for 19. Jesus. But, you know, look, they stuck with it, the Golden State Warriors, because of the coward snake Kevin Durant threw in 16 points in the third quarter. He was the only reason they were still in this fucking game. Klay shot 1 of 6 that quarter. Steph went 3 of 5 as well for his 9 points, but no one else did, like, sweet dick, basically, which was somewhat problematic. And pretty crazy. They were, it was like a weird mix of the fact that the Warriors couldn't hit from downtown, meaning that they had like this huge, huge disparate 3-point differential, which was minus 30, which is their worst point differential in the playoffs since game 4 of the 17 finals. Jesus. But they did wake up towards the end of the fourth quarter. Also handy that the Rockets couldn't score at all in the fourth. They shot 8 of 26, the Rockets, in the fourth quarter, going 1 of 12 from downtown. 1 of 12. Absolutely crazy. What are you doing, Rockets? What are you doing, mate? 8 of 26 overall, 1 for 12 for downtown. They did get 5 offensive rebounds, though. A lot of that was thanks to PJ Tucker, so they got a lot of second-chance points. But at the end of the fourth, look, Steph got it down to 2, hitting a 3 that you're just like, oh, he was always going to hit that. Harden misses a free throw on the going back the other way as after being fouled. They're down 3. And you're like, all right, here we go. Less than 10 seconds. KD gets a huge, amazing open look. They miss it. They get the offensive rebound. Steph gets another look. And they both miss. CP3 gets the ball, gets tied up, hits the second free throw. They win by 4. There you go. This is very much like the Avengers Infinity War. Doctor Strange looking through all the different timelines. What was it? 1 in 14 million chance? What are the chances that KD and Steph both miss wide open threes to tie up a playoff game? Is that the 1 in 14 million? What do you reckon, Doctor Strange? Oh, yeah, probably. Anyway, instead of asking Doctor Strange, how about we ask Stephen A. Smith?
What was that? What the hell was that?
What the hell was that? How did I get here? It's crazy. So, anyway, there you go. Rockets tie up the series 2-0. The Warriors, coward snake Kevin Durant, ends up with 34-8-5. Pretty bloody good game. As mentioned, had a huge, huge third quarter. In the fourth quarter, though, could only muster up 6 points on 6 shots. Probably should have shot more. Klay went 0 of 2. Steph went 3 of 8 in the fourth. And, look, they made a good go of it. They couldn't quite get there. Steph came alive, ends up with a pretty bloody good game, you know? You're like, all right, good job, Steph. I'm happy for you, mate. We were all saying that you're shit, but he drops in 30 points, 8 assists. Comes alive from downtown a little bit as well. 4 of 14. Not ideal percentage-wise, but at least he got something to go. Only 3 turnovers. Klay had another rough shooting night. 11 points on 5 of 15 shooting for him. Stinking up the joint at different points. Klay, Not a great spot for a bit of a drought for your shooting. Draymond, he had a 15-9-5 game. You know, he's been very, very, very... Oh, actually, 15-10-5. Yeah, they must have upgraded him after the game. How weird. He's been very solid. Shot 6 of 11. It's pretty good. But at the same time, you kind of rather Clay to be doing that sort of shit, wouldn't you? Iggy, when he doesn't score, it's a bit tough for the old Warriors. He only had 7 points in this game. And their bench could only manage 9 points between them as well. Looney had 7 points. McKinney had 2. And Livingston had 2 as well. And that was it. Quinn Cook got out there for 4 seconds. Sure. No bogey. Bit of a rough one. But there you go. For the Rockets, James Harden had 38 points. He was awesome. 10 rebounds. All these step back threes and stuff were just absolutely wild. He was unreal. Eric Gordon chucked in 20 as well. 2 of 12 from downtown they overcame. Eric Gordon hit one as well where they called a foul. Probably should have counted his shot, but they didn't. What are you going to do? CP3, another bit of a rough shooting night. 13 points and 11 shots. 4 of 11 for him. 8 points, 5 assists. 2 of 6 from downtown. Clint Capella only played 21 minutes. The Rockets went pretty small pretty early. He had 6 and 9. Nice. PJ Tucker, though, was an absolute revelation in this game. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds. Possession after possession was kept alive by PJ Tucker. He's the toughest guy out there. He's covering KD. He's scoring 17, getting 10 rebounds. What a boost. And the bench, Austin Rivers was pretty bloody good, too. 10 points, 2 of 5 from downtown, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Shump the lump dump dump. Iman Shumpert had 5 points. Geraldo Green had 3 points on 1 of 2 shooting in 3 minutes. Classic Gerald Green. He's like, I'm on the floor. I'm shooting. Fuck you. And Nene in 4 minutes had 1 rebound. The Rockets have only lost once at home since February 9, and that was to the Warriors. And this series is all tied up now, and it is entertaining as hell. How good is this series? I think I predicted the Warriors would come out and stomp them. The Rockets went, you know what? I'm not afraid anymore. Fuck all y'all. We're going to bring it to them, and that's what they did. So, what was the NBA Australia approved performance of the night?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Oh, James Harden in your step backs. 38-10-4. That's immense, but come on. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Only $2 ever had a 35-plus point and 15-plus rebound game in the playoffs. He and Kareem. That's it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the, what, 5 greatest players of all time. Kareem did it 7 times. Giannis is out there dropping him with regularity now. 37 points, 16 rebounds. 39 points. What the fuck am I talking about? Wild times. 39 points on 27 shooting possessions with 16 rebounds. Can't do much about him. Game 1, he had 22-8. Game 2, he's had 29-9. Game 3, 32-13. Game 4, 39-16. But really, the best part about this performance from Giannis, though, wasn't it? It was like the hammer came down in the fourth. He just went, fuck it. I let my team down. I got that stupid foul. Sat the last 8 minutes of the third quarter. Saw his team do all right, and he went, all right, well, fuck it. I'm going to come in, put this to bed. And that's what he did. Played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter. Scored 17 points. Went 6 of 9. Nice. From the floor. 5 of 7 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, absolutely unreal. He just went, you know what, fuck it, we're not going to lose this game, I'm going to win it, and they did it very quickly and really demoralized the Celtics, and it's one of those ones where the Celtics now look at 3-1 going, fuck, we've lost 3 straight, and how is this not going to be a gentleman's sweep now? So that's pretty tough. Giannis, that was the NBA Australia-approved performance of the night, easily. What about old mate No Mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, wow. Kyrie Irving, huh? We all piled on Steph Curry after he had a shit first 3 games against the Rockets, and now Kyrie's just out there fucking turning into calling himself a basketball genius. And instead, through 4 games of this series, Giannis, who can't shoot, has made more threes than Kyrie, basketball genius, Irving at a better percentage as well. So, Kyrie, everyone is just like, oh, Kyrie kind of sucks, doesn't he? Yeah, geez, Kyrie. How did you just turn into Flat Earth God, Sham God? Fucking Jesus, mate. Because that leads us very handily into Spud of the Night.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
I mean, this could have easily gone to Gordon 4chan La Parsons Max Contract Hayward. Holy shit. He finishes game four with, what was it? An absolute shocking, absolutely shocking 2 points, 1 of 5 shooting, 3 rebounds and a turnover from minus 11 in 27 minutes. Just absolutely gross. But come on, man, Kyrie, he's like, after game three, he's like, no more 8 of 22. And everyone's like, ah, he's going to shoot awesome. He's going to like shoot like 9 of 32 or something. And he went, nah, fuck it. 7 of 22. That's worse than 8 of 22. Absolutely wild. 7 of 22. No more 8 of 22. All right, I'll go 7 of 22. Fuck all y'all. 1 of 7 from downtown. I don't know how you have a 23-point 10 assist game and have it be bad, but this was it. 7 of 22 shooting, 4 turnovers. His opinion was, after the game, I'm trying to do it all. For me, the 22 shots, I should have shot 30. I'm that great of a shooter. Now, Kyrie, you and I may actually have differing opinions of as to what constitutes a great shooter. If you're going 7 of 22, perhaps you shouldn't shoot 30 times because you clearly don't fucking have it, you moron. He's gone 19 of 62 over the last 3 games. Not coincidentally, they've all been Boston losses. Those 43 missed field goal attempts are the most Kyrie has ever missed over a 3-game stretch in the playoffs. So suddenly he's just fucking fallen off a cliff. And this comes after he's like spent the entire year talking shit about his teammates who took his team to the conference finals without him last year. And then he turns into a fucking flat earth god, sham god, while they're actually going, hey, Kyrie, could you pass the... Oh, no, he's just going to shoot again. Hey, Kyrie, can I have a shot? Oh, no, he shot it again. Hey, Kyrie, could I have the... Oh, fuck, he's a basketball genius. I got to remember that he shot it again. Celtics, they needed Kyrie to turn into Kawhi Leonard. Instead, he turned into fucking Kyle Lowry. So that was pretty rough. Boston Celtics, you got a bit of a Kyrie problem at the moment, I reckon. So nice one. Pantsing of the night, though. We'll give that to Gordon 4chan La Parsons, Max Contract Hayward. Got by Eric Bledsoe just embarrassingly a couple of times. The Gordon Hayward thing where it's like, oh, he looked pretty good against Indiana. He's back. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, nah, he's shit. And he got absolutely pantsed by Bledsoe to the point where a couple of mates of mine, Boston fans, are like, are we fucked paying Gordon Hayward the max? It's like, maybe. He has shot 4 of 18 over the last 3 games. Yeesh, 4 of 18. He's gone 3 of 9 from downtown as well. Not great, mate. Not great, Gordon. But getting pants by Eric Bledsoe is pretty funny, so good on him. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today, however?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as coming for everybody means sitting at home while the playoffs are actually going and just scratching your nuts, because it must be balling season.
It's balling season!
That's right. That means watching Jason Tatum go out there and tear it up for the Boston Celtics. I mean, I've talked enough shit about the rich man's Harrison Barnes, but 17 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists and 2 blocks for Jason Tatum today. 6 of 14 shooting, 1 of 5 from downtown, not great. And as I talked about earlier, the idea of like, all right, hey, Jason Tatum, Kyrie clearly doesn't have it. How about you take over? Gordon Hayward's fucking shitting the bed. Fucking 4chan La Parsons over here. Tatum, the stage is set. Off you go. And he's like, nah, I'm good. But still, remember, anything is better than Lonzo Ball at this point, who's probably hanging out, sitting in fucking Calabasas, listening to his dad rant and rave and bitch and moan about his how he's never lost, apart from that $2 million box that his best mate stole from his son. So, just saying. All right, back in a second with Yana, right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
We'll be right back.
All right. We are back. Oh, jeez. Tell you what, everything hurts. I've gone full on fat bastard since we had the little squid. And I just fucking went for a couple of runs in the last like 3 days. And all of me hurts. It's a bit of a struggle just sitting. Like, that's how you know you're a fat bastard. If you're just like, oh man, sitting hurts. Jesus. Tell you what. Anyway, too many tins last night might have not helped either. But anyway, let's do Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one. Is Steph Curry not the best player on the Warriors? I mean, yeah, nah. He is not. But at the same time, there's some really good numbers floating around. Because when he sucks, the Warriors don't really seem to do very well. When Steph has a game score, like this is the old basketball reference game score of at least 20, the Warriors are 44-5. When he doesn't have 20, they're 25-25. Holy shit. And when KD, the coward snake, arrived in Golden State, the Warriors are 20-1 when he's got at least a game score of 20, and 13-7 when it goes below. So, Jesus. So he's not the best player, but he might be the most important. And that's why you can see in these last couple of games when he hasn't shot great, and they suddenly lose, and you're like, oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, 30 points today, but 12 of 25 shooting and 4 of 14 from downtown. If he's not spreading, like, the absolute floor and being a fucking dead-eye dick, you're in a bit of trouble. In that same vein, number two, is Jaylen Brown more important to the Celtics than Jason Tatum? Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, he kind of is, right? Like, when he's on, the Celtics are way tougher to beat. Whereas you saw today, Jason Tatum had, like, a little bit of a thing going, and it didn't really matter because they're just like, all right, cool. Off you go, fucking Kobe. Whereas if Jaylen Brown's really fucking crushing it, the Celtics usually win. But, man, he might be more important to them at the moment than Jason Tatum. Also, you know, just be handy if Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier didn't stink up the joint. With that in mind as well, finally, are we going to get a Bucks-Warriors finals? Yeah, nah, shit. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I can't really see either the Raps or Sixers beating the Bucks, provided, you know, they close out this series against the Celtics. I can't really see it. Like, Raptors or Sixers toppling this Bucks team? Jesus, nah. But the Warriors, I think, like, if they get out of this in six, if they go home, win game five, and then beat the Rockets back in Houston game six, there's not a huge great chance that Portland or Denver could pop them. If this goes seven, though, and games five through seven are absolute fucking barn burners, bloody messes, grinded out games, and if Portland or Denver just sort of cruise to a six-game series, then, might throw a bit of the old spanner in the works of Bucks-Warriors, but is Bucks-Warriors the actual ideal, most fun finals? Yeah, nah, yeah! I think it is, because the Warriors, they're presumptive, you know, champions, all they have been all year. Everyone's like, the season's already over, man. They just can't even lose. Yeah, let's see how they go against the Bucks. That'd be very fun. But to be fair, they've got to get past the Rockets first. Nice. All right, speaking of the Celtics, time for the unpopular opinion of the day. Hey, Brad Stevens. Everybody losing their fucking minds over him last year was a bit premature, don't you think? Dude hasn't won a title. I'd say he's maybe even overrated at this point. He's got a roster with three max players, and he's down 3-1 in the second round. So, Brad Stevens. Overrated. Considering everyone's like, oh, he's like a top four coach in the NBA already. I don't know. Get your team with three max players out of the second round, Brad Stevens. Then we'll talk. Nice. It's Tuesday at Outback Takehouse, and you know what that means. Cassowary Casserole Tuesdays. That's right, we lost five good men catching this bloody bird, but it tastes absolutely delicious. Only at Outback. So come down and get yourself a flame-grilled take of Cassowary Casserole. Because today's flame-grilled take is... The Boston Celtics would be better with Kemba Walker in Kyrie Irving's place. Only at Outback. There you go. Australian Player Watch, right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch. Well, our big fellas didn't get out there for too much run today. Because we did have, obviously, we had the Aaron Bangers Baines for the Celtics in the early game. Against Milwaukee, 7 minutes, 2 rebounds, and 1 bullshit foul called where Ersan Ilyasova fell over Bangers' outstretched leg and got called for tripping because it's some anti-Australian bias. Fucking Ersan Ilyasova falling over Bangers' leg. I call bullshit. Anyway, Bangers, 2 rebounds, didn't take a shot. Looking good out there, though. And he was a team-high +6 in 7 minutes. Just saying, if Brad Stevens is such a fucking genius, why don't you play Bangers Baines a little bit more? And the other Aussie in action today was not in action. Andrew Bogut didn't get out there, but was awesome as a teammate, no doubt. Mimicking Chris Paul and James Harden with the flailing around. So good job, Bogey. Pretty good stuff. Nice. And we've obviously got Ben Simmons, and son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden, in action tomorrow. So what else do we do on Tuesdays? We check out a sweaty, hairy guy of the week. It's the Mark Bradke Memorial. And today this goes to James Harden. That's right. Dude had the eyes of a bloke who just wandered out of a strip club at 6 a.m. and was sweating like it as well. Like it was in the Atlanta heat. But damn, he was good today, man. Really, 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 though, towards the end of that fourth quarter, was sweating hardcore, wasn't he? Really getting a sweat on, which made me just wonder, like, what do you reckon that beard smells like? I've had a pretty big, fucking hefty old beard. And, you know, it can swell like a bunch of different things. If you're taking good care of it, you know, your beard wax, conditioning regularly. Depends on if you're doing lots of, you know, working, running, you know, sweating. So James Harden with that beard sweat, the weird one is like when you start sweating underneath it, you can feel it trickling down like the front of your neck. But anyway, James Harden's beard, what do you reckon it smells like? Sandalwood? I mean, there's definitely like a hint of stripper glitter, some strawberry lube or something. What do you reckon? Spilt gin, musty weed smoke, or something much nicer, you know? I don't know, tabbouleh? Just lost a couple of cornflakes in there as well, baby. Patchouli oil? James Harden looks like a bit of a patchouli oil kind of guy, doesn't he? Yeah. Nice. All right, let's do the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. I dig it. And today we are just going to Joe Ingles. Coffee emoji, coffee emoji. Classic jingling Joe Ingles. But Thon McCur has also been out there tweeting since his Detroit Basketball Pistons were eliminated from the playoffs back in the olden days. Remember that? When the Pistons were a playoff team? He retweeted, McCur, that's right, McCur, this is just the start. Trust me, said McCur, as overtime tweeted out, Thon McCur's cousin, McCur, been putting on a clinic. And the video, 41-second Gauntlet Series video, which is unreal. That dude looks like a fucker boost. So thanks, Thon, for bringing us your cousin to our attention. That is inspiring as hell. Great stuff. To be fair, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in could actually just be the Magic Johnson inspirational board as well. What do you reckon? Because Magic Johnson, after quitting the Lakers so he could go tweet a little bit more, is just on one, man. Just great stuff. He tweeted out today, Giannis Antetokounmpo, aka the Greek Freak, is showing the whole league why he is such a special player, scoring 39 points to lead his Bucks 3-1 over the Celtics. He will be dominating the NBA regular season and playoffs for many years to come. Wow, am I happy that Magic quit the Lakers so he could tweet insightful shit like that? That's amazing. Thanks, Magic. Holy shit. How about another one? James Harden's 38 points tonight had the Warriors players on ice skates. He led his Rockets to an even series. 2-2. Like, does Magic think that he's like a new... Whatever. That's fine. Cool. Let's do some game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's it all going?
Ah, you know, sleep regression for babies is pretty funny, isn't it? I mean, not funny, ha-ha, more like funny, god damn. Yeah. Anyway, old mate had to deal with that one last night. I came home shit-faced, so not great. But anyway, all right, so let's look at the odds and picking a preview for tomorrow's games. We have a 10 a.m. Australian Eastern tip-off for Sixers going back to Toronto.
Oh, gee, I can't wait to see how many outside shots of Jurassic Park we get during this one. And the Raps are 6-point favourites at home. Considering that this series is tied up 2-2 and the Sixers have already won on their home, on the Raptors' home court,
give me the Sixers, plus 6. It's not a Sixers, but I'll take the 6. Plus 6, it's in the 6, Toronto as well. So give me this plus 6 in the 6 for the Sixers. The Sixers have proven they can beat the Toronto Raptors in Toronto, and I expect Joel Embiid to not be threatening to shit himself again during this game and actually get up and do some more stuff. The fact that he got through that last game while sick, and I expect him to bounce back a little bit more in this one and enjoy some of that tasty, tasty Toronto food up there and not those shitty, shitty Philly cheesesteaks. So let's go Sixers, plus 6 right there. And then the second game tomorrow at 12:30 Australian Eastern Time, the Nuggets host the Blazers in Denver, and they are 4.5-point favorites at home. And I'm very tempted, I think, to take the Blazers plus 4.5 here. I think this game will be very close. And I think the Blazers may lose, but I think they cover. I think the Nuggets might win it by about 2 or 3. I think this is a really, really, really close game. And I think the Blazers cover, but they end up losing. So give me the Blazers plus 4.5, and we'll see how we go from there. What do you reckon? How good's that? It's going to be fun as hell. Jeez, I can't wait for these two game fives. So we're going to wrap them up tomorrow. That's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. Blazers, Sixers. Oh, man. Going to be good. All right. So in the meantime, before we're back tomorrow, make sure you're following NBA Story on Twitter, Facey, Instagram, all that sort of good stuff. We're all over the socials during the games. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com, would you? If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, go to NBAAustralia.com first, smash the giant Amazon button on your right-hand side, and then go buy all your shit. And they chuck us a couple of shekels on the back end. It's pretty good, pretty handy. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever Android app you use. Mash for like 5 stars as well. That helps out heaps. And follow us on Spotify. Good stuff there too. I love Spotify. It's great. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band House Hats. Their debut album Running Out of Time is out now, and I think they've just been added to Triple J rotation. Nice! That's pretty good. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Go buy their merch. Because remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and so should you! And that's it for today. Nice. We're going to close out with a brand new Jingles HR as Joe Ingles takes a question from Monty in Arizona. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying,
later, Jose.
Oh, g'day, you jingler jokers. Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia. Just here answering all your workplace-related questions. Yep, when I'm not sinking threes, watching My Kitchen Rules, or taking the kids to watch the missus play netball, I'm the best bloody HR professional you find. Because nobody knows HR quite like the jingler. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Monty in Arizona. Dear Joe, so, I just got a new job in a great city in a fun part of the country. It is really beautiful here. Only problem is, my new boss has a horrible reputation. I only took the job because they offered me a lot of money and a 5-year contract, which was more money and more years than anybody else. But I am still worried about him meddling and screwing this up for me. Do you have any advice? Monty in Arizona. Oh, thanks for writing in, Monty. And look, yeah, come on. We've all been there. Even an experienced HR manager like myself has experienced having bosses who are, shall we say, not particularly happy to delayer and drill down into their own incompetencies and stay in their own lane. Meddling bosses can be very tough to deal with because you need to show the proper respect, but sometimes roles also call for a bit of dynamic resilience. And this is one of them. So, Monty, one great way to keep them at an arm's length is to deliver them, and this is some great HR talk, deliver them a burning platform while drinking from a fire hose. That is, show them what's wrong with their company and inundate them with information on how you're going to fix it. But never let them take a helicopter picture of everything. Keep them piled up with jargon where they'll happily just throw their hands in the air and then be like, okay, you deal with it, and you come away looking like a rockstar CEO. Which is what we're all about here at Jingles HR. Because, look, one really good way of doing this is to conversate with them using a SWAT team of pros that you can say are advising you. AKA, just bring in a bunch of mates and go, right, these dudes know what they're doing. They've identified all the problems that you need to fix before we can do a really good job. Tie up the owner and, like, the boss with a whole bunch of information and drill down, concentrate on how many moving parts there are for them to consider, and you'll find that they very quickly pivot back to wanting just to look at things in a net-net fashion, which means going back to the bottom line and making sure that everything's just running hunky-dory and they don't have to worry about it. Because the bottom line, after all, is the most important thing to them, not your job. So then you'll get to do your bloody thing. Because, I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR, dynamic resilience isn't just what you cop from the missus. So, there you go, Monty. I hope all that HR speak really helps you out, because I know it helps me out all the bloody time, even with the missus, if you know what I mean. So, best of luck, and we'll be back next week on NBA Australia with more Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a dog up ya. Yeah.